Episode 3 of Hot Air for 2017. My name is Greg Esser. The Hot Air podcast is the DC Breeze's podcast. The DC Breeze are the representative in the AUDL, American Ultimate Disc League, from the nation's capital. I've got a real exciting show today. I sit down with Daryl Stanley, the coach now of the DC Breeze. He's been sitting in that position for 30, 40 days at this point, so he's had a real chance to gel and start to mesh with that team. He started to make player selections with his group, supporting cast of coaches and some of the captains and players. Real exciting that he'll talk about some of those very recent selections as they come out. You'll see the new player announcements come out on Twitter, on Facebook, by the Breeze. This podcast, as you download it, will address those players. You know, what did Daryl see in them? Why was that a candidate? How did that person fit into the team? Some really cutting-edge inside scoop into kind of how the trial process looked and what you can expect out of some of these new players. Other exciting things going on in Breezeland. Women's Showcase game went down a week ago on March 19th. There were two teams. It was two women's teams, a recent college alums team versus current college players. It was a real exciting game. I think they could have done maybe something more to split the talent on the two squads more equally, because it did turn out to be a 15-5 game in favor of the recent college alums. And the only reason I say that is if it was a closer game, we, the audience, would have gotten to see more points. Got to see 20 points of high-level women's ultimate. It was fantastic. I shouldn't really be complaining. Amy Zhu, Sarah Lord, just crushed it. Two scandal players playing for the recent college alums. Amy Zhu on defense had a over-the-shoulder layout block on, I believe it was someone else's person even, getting the block. That little clip is available online. You should definitely look it up. And Sarah Lord just ran the offense, you know, picking up the disc in all the big moments and doing a give-and-go up line a couple times that really just put her defender on her back, put the defender on her heels, and it was an impressive display of talent. I mentioned before with Daryl that the 2017 roster is being finalized, or has been finalized by the time you're listening to that, and that's exciting. Check out the full roster at thedcbreeze.com, and Daryl's going to talk to those same roster selections as well. Quick out the gate, our corporate sponsors for 2017, Oak Creek Apparel, Big Board Bar, Papa John's, Layout Gloves, and Discraft Ultimate. Also, thank you to WAFC, local community sponsor, and we really thank and treasure our relationship with WAFC for promoting Ultimate in the district, in D.C. area. Opening weekend starts off on Friday, April 7th at Big Board. There's a party. Many of the players will be there. The great thing about opening day, which isn't until Sunday, at Gallaudet against the Toronto Rush, is that being on a Sunday, the players will go out and shake the hands, kiss the babies on Friday, April 7th. So go head out to Big Board, hang out with some players, talk a little bit pre-season storylines with anyone that's out at Big Board. I'm sure lots of fans will be there as well. Come on out to Big Board Friday, April 7th. I think that's everything I had to get through. Hand it off to Broke Royals, entry music, interview with Daryl Stanley. Thanks a lot for listening. Hot Air 2017. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Levels?
Level.
Good.
Level it up.
I'm leveled.
Oh yeah, get leveled. Great. So, I'm sitting here with Daryl Stanley.
Hey, what's going on, Greg?
I have seen a lot of you recently because you recently made a move to the great city of Washington, D.C. You're a Philadelphia boy, born and bred.
Yeah.
But you're trying out the nation's capital for a little while, and one of your primary objectives in D.C. is going to be serving as a head coach of the D.C. Breeze in 2017.
Absolutely. And Truck Stop.
And Truck Stop. There's a partnership afoot.
Absolutely.
That's exciting.
I think it is. It's smart, too. I think a lot of efficiencies can be gained by having, a joint leadership approach. I mean, I've got myself, Will Smolinski. DC coaching veteran,
yes,
is signed up as my assistant, and calling him an assistant feels cheap. This man is like, if I'm one, he's 1A.
He's right shouldering there. The load.
Absolutely.
Cool.
He's doing great work for me already.
That's great.
Tell me, back it up just a little bit though on this move to DC. What about your move to DC has been the most surprising or entertaining? Tell me a little bit about the local culture that's surprised Daryl.
Well, first off, I have never had such great public transit in my life, but I'm sure like you all hear that. The thing you probably don't hear is that eye contact down here is nothing like it is in Philadelphia.
Okay.
In Philly, we don't look at each other.
And down here we do.
Yes, people look you in the eye. You know, it's kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
We're friendly in Philadelphia once you get past the fact that no one looked at you. You know, you have to say something.
You don't look at each other while you slap them on the back?
Well,
because I mean, there's
no touching in Philadelphia.
Really?
No, we don't touch.
Okay, so yeah. I'm from too peripheral in Philadelphia originally.
Yes.
That we're big touchers in the least dirty way imaginable.
you were like 90 minutes outside of Philly, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not even further probably. Woo! Sure. In no way is it Philadelphia, but it still makes me think
It's Philadelphia to somebody from London.
Right.
You know?
Actually, the further from home you go, the more and more you can just be like, I'm from New York anyway.
Right. Northeast.
We're all from New York at a certain point. okay, well, cool. So you're getting some eye contact in DC,
yeah,
which is refreshing.
It is,
and
it was unsettling at first, but then it became refreshing.
So it's funny actually that you pump up the transportation system because the metro's been falling apart on us.
Yeah, you know, I just read an article about the decision. Right, I think it's about a year ago today.
LeBron James is driving the metro. The decision.
Basically he breezed on through and decided that you know. We need to shut down SafeTrak, right?
Breeze pun alert. I'm loving it.
I'm trying. But no, honestly, like they shut down the metro for 24 hours because of like, you know, gaps in the track that were causing fires.
That's right. That's right.
Smoke in the tunnel. And then, you know, maybe it unfortunately killed a woman from what I understand. So like, yeah, I just read about that management decision and like, I found it to be a fascinating case study. but yeah, so what you think is unsafe And like, you know, the fact that it's not 24/7 anymore,
yeah.
This is still a tremendous upgrade from the Philadelphia
That is true.
Subway system.
SEPTA is hilarious in some ways.
It's over 100 years old in some cases.
Yeah.
You know, the Broad Street line, just looked it up. 1902. Wow.
Yeah, that's getting on...
1908.
Okay.
Still ancient.
I think Underground in London started... I'm certain Underground in London started before that, but that's getting close, actually.
I'm serious. And here in D.C., you know, first ridership is in, like, 1976 or 75.
Sure. I mean, the whole thing was built from scratch. Sure.
Exactly. With, you know, modern infrastructure plan.
That's right. Okay. Well, cool. I'm glad D.C. has grabbed you with our warm embrace. So the big so we talked a little bit about kind of this the coaching gig and Will by your side. Tell me about the tryout process because we're coming to a close on the tryout process. A bunch more names just got released and we'll talk about those, about guys that are making the breeze this year. Very exciting, and I want to talk mostly about those today. But to get down to that point, you've had a month of hard work now going through tryout processes and looking through DC with, you know, oftentimes fresh eyes for guys you've never seen before. How do you go into a tryout with all new faces or many new faces and 80 plus guys trying out?
Wow. So it's been difficult. I mean, the one good thing is that, you know, we've had 20 guys I can kind of lean on, right? They've already been signed. They're there. They know the history of these guys.
They're almost additional hands to help a little bit.
They absolutely have it. They've been great for me on that. And, you know, like, as we speak, they're helping provide feedback for our most recent trial. So they're just giving me, like, very detailed feedback, which is so helpful.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, with the quantity of players that came down, like, thank goodness we have such a large field. You know, other times
this is the new practice facility at Dunbar High School, too, that I'll plug.
You know, like, a three-year-old high school. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, basically, by having that full field available to us, I mean, and the fact that it was warm enough to be outside, it really made the trial process a bit easier than what I've been used to.
Came a little bit further south and got the bigger field.
The warmth is huge. We've done it later in the year.
Uh-huh.
You know, historically, in Philadelphia, we run our tryouts and for pro in like in the winter months, you know,
yeah.
And that means indoor, and that means really small spaces. So I found it refreshing that I had you know, this much space.
Yeah. Does it make you nervous to be declaring? I mean, I think around the AUDL, you know, rosters are largely being set or have been set by now. Philly came out with their roster just today, I believe, as we record. You won't hear this until probably the 22nd or 3rd of March when it does come out. But today's the 20th when we're recording. Does it make you nervous that you're still making roster decisions on March 19th?
I mean, it's definitely tough. You know, part of it is trying to make sure you get the most out of every time that you have these guys. You know, what would normally be a pure tryout has kind of turned into a tryout plus offensive building, right, and defensive building and systems building.
Yeah.
So we've tried to basically combine the two focuses, which has led us to, you know, we at least are establishing systems while we're evaluating people and not just purely evaluation.
Yeah.
So I'm not nearly as worried as I would be.
Yeah.
If you didn't have this is still very tight.
Sure. The strong class in front of you. Okay. So I can't wait any longer. I'm jumping right to the chase.
Mm.
Give me, so you had the 20 players. We've talked about them on Hot Air, at nauseam. I've talked to several of them directly. But I want to hear some of these new names and what wowed you. You know, about the players, maybe a little bit of their background, if you know it, if that was part of the enticing thing about the players. Drop some names, Daryl. Who are you picking, Coach Stanley?
First, ages 20 through 24 in D.C.?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That you've seen.
Yeah, I, that's a good point, right? It's not like I turned over every stone here.
Anyway. Yeah.
But of what showed up and who came to the tryouts, like, I am super impressed by the development and abilities of the guys in that age range down here.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. To that end, I think the bulk of the guys I'm about to mention are in that range.
Yeah.
So
some young guys.
Yeah, some new to the area, some not. You know, I'm going to start with Marcus Thaw.
There's a young guy.
He's young. He just graduated from Penn State.
Yeah.
You know, I've coached against him quite a bit when I was coaching Penn.
Yes.
And, you know, Marcus is talented. I didn't quite know how talented until I started putting him through the rigors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got really, really big throws.
He really has good body awareness, I find.
I mean,
for a guy that's his age as well.
I'm saying, right? He might be one of the strongest bodies in that age.
Well, so strong body, and I think, you know, you'll find that at all ages, but knowing how to use that body, and maybe I'm stealing your thunder here, to get to the disc and keep his defender away from the disc at the same time is unparalleled.
Yeah, he seals off his man very well. And I think the other thing is he's got impressive agility. He'll take really big sweeping strides to you know, change direction. And,
uh-huh.
And that's kind of unusual for a man who's, like, so well filled out.
You know? Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So
cool. That's exciting.
He is another really, really, really awesome, like out of nowhere kind of guy.
Yeah,
Ryan Swift.
Okay.
Ryan is from UM, you know, Maryland.
Okay.
And
recent grad as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he just graduated last year.
Okay.
Ryan, the defense, the finishing, as I call it. It's immense, you know.
What, unpack that a little bit. His defense is amazing, or the finishing, the defensive point.
Those are commas.
Okay.
His defense is stellar. Like he's got great body positioning, right? So he sets himself up well.
Uh-huh.
But it's not just that; it's his ability to maintain concentration and focus, and to keep making the micro adjustments of, you know, taking away the right spaces. He shadows his man's hips very well, so you know whatever change of direction this guy. Does he can mirror that quickly, but
yeah.
Then also in the right direction, in the
uh-huh.
direction he's already decided you're not going in.
Uh-huh.
So seeing that kind of discipline is rare, and on top of that, he can finish plays. So what I mean by calling him a finisher, kind of twofold in this case.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat thing, obviously.
I mean, you know,
he's a great Mortal Kombat player.
I think he's got cheat codes or something because he's got two finishers.
Okay,
the first is defensively.
Yeah,
like. He can lay out. I mean, a lot of guys can lay out at this level. But the difference is that because he's done all that hard work with the positioning, right? Because he's been so disciplined, because he's been following and paying attention to his man so
closely.
Yeah, thank you. You know, he can just make the final play. He's in a great position to make the final play when
he turns
around and makes his bids.
Okay.
And you know, he's strong. He's got great body control. But then the other method, what I mean by finishing, is that I'm talking about deep shots, right?
Okay.
You know, big ultimate, I call it. The guy will absolutely get blocks against other tall men. You know, he's about 6'2 himself.
Okay.
And, you know, not only can he cover those guys and take them away airily.
Sure.
He boxes out well. He goes up strong. He reads the disc well.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't seem to matter too much if he's on offense or defense about his ability to finish. This guy, wow, look out.
Okay. Yet another exciting player.
Any more
from the batch that we've seen come out here real recently that you want to call out?
Yeah. Zach Norba.
That's a name I know well.
Do you?
Sure, because back in my younger playing days, back in 2013 on the Breeze, Zach Norbom was a young 18-year-old, the youngest player on the Breeze that year.
Sure.
And already playing a pivotal handle role. So now, 4 years later, he's playing Mary Washington University, D3. I assume those skills have only grown. Tell me about what you saw in Zach.
Yeah, so, you know, Zach wasn't too far into me. I mean, I've coached against him when he was playing for the Current.
Yep.
Under Will's, you know, guidance and tutelage. From what I understand, Will's been working with him for years. Now, if we want to give props to a coach for doing a good job, Will Selinsky on Zach Norba, from what I understand.
Okay.
Not that Will's tooting his own horn. I'm tooting for him.
Yeah, okay. I'll allow that.
Great. Because I'm doing it. Zach's... So with the Current last year, you know, he was a critical handler. He and Lloyd did a lot of heavy lifting for that offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zach, what impressed me was the ability to, you know, transfer his momentum into his throws. That was part of the thing I was testing on one of the tryouts. And, you know, he took all that energy. He didn't slow down. And he delivered strike after strike after strike of, you know, great lefty backhand.
Abusing that power position.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know,
especially a 100-yard long field now, right? The bigger field.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's able to use that and then just deliver strikes, like very catchable strikes that finish well. See, I use finish again.
That's all right.
It's
in the vernacular.
Yeah. You know, plays need to end. And he's doing it in the right way.
Well, you want players that can end them.
Finishers.
There you are.
So yeah,
baseball's got closers, but ultimately's got finishers.
That's Darryl Stanley coined first.
Yeah,
all right, I'm doing it.
I mean, I said it first year, but like, I'll credit you.
Oh,
I put it together in that snazzy bit.
Ouch!
Like that's a soundbite.
You know what? I'm gonna call you more like a pioneer. All right.
Okay.
You know, like there's an inventor, and then you just pioneered. You know, you took what you heard.
Early
adopter.
I stole your light bulb, and I put it in the socket.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna go there. You know, maybe I'll be Nikola Tesla. You know?
Okay, wow. That's okay. We're inventing some real stuff here.
Yeah, yeah.
These are big names.
He's the man.
We've recently signed Nikola Tesla.
To be our head coach.
Spark plug.
I like it.
Yeah.
So no, Zach, seriously, he's you know, he's a great guy. Everyone likes him. I can't believe he's only 21 or 22. Still in college. Like, when they told me that, I was like, what? I feel like he's been in the scene forever, to your point.
I mean, yeah.
And, you know. It's
because, you know, when are you going to find, I'll guess at Zach's age, but a 22-year-old with 4 or 5 years of pro experience.
There aren't many.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fact that he's a serious load, it wasn't like he was just riding the pine. Like,
yeah.
He was a featured player.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. Seeing it up close, seeing all his particular gifts up close is like, you know, it's proof. Why you guys keep putting him in this position down here in D.C.
Very nice. Very nice. Any other roster ones you want to quick mention here?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, give me one more. Give me one more, then we'll move on.
Sure. I'm going to go Xander Taylor.
Okay. That's a guy I don't know a lot about, so you're going to need to cue me in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's definitely new to me, and I think a lot of the guys around didn't seem like they knew much about him either.
Okay.
But there's a polish to his game.
He's a guy that showed up at tryouts.
Yes.
And showed up in a big way.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's polish to his game that, you know, I don't know where or how it's coming. I definitely want to talk to him and get to know more.
Uh-huh.
Because you know, wherever his background is, it's clear.
So what do you notice? What kind of plays do you notice the polish on? Is it
Sure. You know, when being challenged against the mark, we've put the tryouts through a lot of situations where it's suboptimal, right? Where we're in worst case scenarios, so that we can, you know, differentiate guys who can make those key throws or to finish.
So you're talking about like high stall counts or like
absolutely trapped on the sideline,
okay.
Double team,
okay,
right? Like. We want to see, hey, you know, is this the guy who's got the kind of the tools to get out of that situation?
Got the goods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if he is, we'll put him in that situation.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by him having that skill set. He when trapped against the sideline, when put against a 90-degree, 100-degree mark, this guy, look, he gets the disc off. You know, and he gets it off in a very catchable way. You know, the curves are very nice. The footwork that he has on his throws. His timing on his resets, like... There's something there.
Okay.
There's a level that he's at and the level he's played at that, you know, we have to have it here.
We have to have it.
Yeah.
Good. Well, those are certainly good and promising things to hear going into 17. As if the first 20 weren't exciting enough, that's another 5 to whet your appetite, because those sound like some good additions.
They are. They will challenge, to make that roster, the game day roster. I mean, they're really good, and that's why we took them.
So with the challenge to stay positive, but I know you're a very positive person as well, the Philadelphia Phoenix also released their roster as we record, and you've just taken a first reaction. I got to see your unboxing, if you will, of the Philadelphia Phoenix roster and as many players
unfurling,
you've
coached. Maybe?
Unfurling?
Unfurling.
Unfurling.
Like, you know, like a flag in the wind.
Oh, in the wind. And so I've seen your gut reaction here, and I want to see if we can, you know, so are you, I mean, obviously it's a team that's made a lot of strides. What are some of your, you know, very baseline thoughts upon seeing, you know, the local rival, the team that's only 2 hours up the road?
Sure. Yeah, first thoughts? I mean, you know, can we get Nicky Spivey back? honestly, I mean, everybody knows about that signing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I looked at that roster, and I feel like more than 50% of these guys I've coached at least once. And, you know, there weren't too many names I didn't know. It's a definite who's who of, like, the next generation of Philadelphia players. You know, I'm really excited for some of these guys to finally get a chance to be on a pro roster and make some noise. You know, some of them were spinners. And last year I didn't have an opportunity to play them as much because we had a lot of veterans. It's good seeing them on this roster because I know that they'll get that opportunity to shine and that they're ready to step up.
So what are your thoughts then walking into the first matchup, which I think is actually a little deeper into the season, but your first matchup with this younger and revamped Phoenix roster?
Yeah, I mean, depth is the word I want to use. You know, for one, just the talent levels, like, it just doesn't fall off, you know, that quickly. These guys, they're going to be able to put a strong 20 out every time they play. And, you know, that presents a serious challenge. I think that we'll have to see who ends up being, you know, the core players out of this group because, you know, perhaps it's me having some bias and then loving some of these guys. But I can't really tell, you know, who's going to be the go-to guys. A lot of these guys are two-way players.
Sure.
So it'll be really interesting to see, like, you know, who ends up rising to the top.
Phoenix pun, rising up.
Yeah. I'm doing it.
You're doing it. Well, great. That's good to hear. I mean, I think the whole Eastern Division that we know is going to be getting better and better, and this Phoenix roster is indicative of that. You know, I think my observations are, you know, no game this year will be easy. And certainly, clearly. Certainly there's been games in the past where, you know, not to say anyone's being overlooked, you're showing up and playing tough every game, but you had, in my mind, and not the player's mind, the last two years of announcing, but there were still asterisks or stars next to certain games that you were like, that's the game we need to eat our Wheaties.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's still critical wins. There's still teams that, you know, we just got to win against them. I mean, for one, morale. Two, you know, standings. I mean, we got to win. There's teams like New York that, like, give DC fits. And they should. They're very good. Their coach, Tom Givens, I love him. He's a great defensive mind. I've always been impressed with, you know, the spirit out of New York when I coached with the Phoenix. So, I mean, they're dangerous. I mean, it's not just them, but, like, you know, that's the first thing I come to my mind is, like, good Lord.
Yeah.
New York. New York.
Yeah.
New York, D.C.
New York, New York. A city and a state. Okay, well, great. Let's talk about the fundamental pillar that I wanted to get through with you today, which is there's also been a big handoff with this year's Breeze. And we mentioned that, you know, Will is helping you shoulder a lot of the new responsibilities that come with taking over a squad. But talk to me about the role that Dutchie has played so far. You've, I think, had a little bit of a mentorship with him as he's kind of been stepping away but still showing up to events and the tryouts and that type of thing. You want to just give me a word or two about how that relationship's been?
Absolutely. I mean, part of my excitement with coming down here and you know, trying to announce my interest in the DC Breeze was like, hey, I just wanted to learn under Dutchie. I wanted to get some tips, some guidance. You know,
tutelage.
You know, it didn't even have to be that. I was willing to just audit and apprentice and contribute however I could.
Yeah.
You know, if he wanted to take me on as somebody he wanted to mentor or tutor, then, you know, so be it. But I just wanted to, I felt I would learn enough by watching. And to get this opportunity to not only watch, but for him to actually, you know, provide me with guidance and feedback about, you know, my efforts and my performance and planning. It's been immense. Especially, you know, Dutch has got a lot of experience with getting trial processes, you know, that also need to be team gelling and team system building processes. Like, his guidance around my specific situation here with only having 1 month before we play.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we only had a month from that first tryout to when we play.
So, yeah.
For him to be able to guide me through that and
yeah,
it's been really helpful. I think
it might really be a comfort zone for him, considering that's kind of how he throws together a really loose term, but you know, has to put together these U.S. National teams
right.
in very short amount of actual time with the players,
right.
and sometimes over a very narrow window. You might have a tryout a month beforehand, then you're showing up in London.
I'm serious. I mean, and you think about it, it's like, you know, because he's got people traveling from all over, you have to get the most out of those days. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I think... born from experience, he has clearly seen what works and what doesn't work, and how to get the most out of these situations, and his teams win.
Yeah.
So
that might be the increasing reality of, you know, so many different options for players to play. You know, you want to play in your city league with some of your best friends that you've played with in college. You want to still play college in some cases. We just mentioned the younger crop of guys.
Right.
You've got the amateur club season, and then on top of that, you're layering on the pro.
Absolutely.
So make the most out of the few reps you get.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I am going to be a better coach out of this, which is all I had hoped for. But I, you know, to do it as the DC Breeze head coach,
yeah.
is even like just I couldn't have imagined this without. So it's great.
So I'd like to end this interview, and we're not quite to ending yet, but there's on two new features, and I mentioned them both to you in passing. But we're gonna see how you fare in the Crucible. Which is to say, first we've got the over-underrated. I'm going to give you a phrase, ultimate related or not, and I want your gut reaction as to whether, not whether you like it or not, but whether it is over or underrated.
Okay.
Okay?
I got you.
And then we got one more to follow it up with, but we'll start with the over-under. In-game snack, beef jerky.
Oh, I'm going to say underrated.
Underrated.
I haven't heard anybody talk about that, you know. Ever using beef jerky. I will use beef jerky every time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Do it like why the beef? Just, it's all about flavor?
It's efficient.
Efficient.
No, I love the flavor of it, and I love the salt.
Okay.
You know, obviously, that. Well, we assume that that does something for electrolytes. I don't even know what those are. But, you know,
I guess
salt is good, from what I understand, especially for cramps and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
small aircraft electrolytes, like an ultralight. Yeah.
Whoa. That wordplay was sparkling. So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say underrated because I've never heard an ultimate player eating that. I feel like they use Cliff Bars and, you know,
yeah.
snacks like that.
Long sleeve jerseys.
I don't know. This is hard. I haven't heard feedback about that either. I know what I prefer. But
so last year, I think we saw more and more players of every caliber make the transition, and certainly the Breeze home kits, many players. If 66% of the Breeze were wearing long sleeves last year, and you prefer the long sleeve jerseys,
it's a good assumption. Absolutely.
Over underrated.
I mean, you know,
I'm gonna hold you down and make you answer.
I'm gonna be a man of science here and say that clearly, it sounds like it's overrated.
Okay. The Star Wars film, not the most recent Rogue One.
Okay.
Let's go back to Episode 7, which was A New Hope.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Over or underrated?
It's impossible. That's rated.
That can't do it. I will not accept that answer.
This is horrible.
Over or underrated?
You're a tough man.
I'm stern but fair.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm trying out that motto.
I like that. It's consistent. Under.
Under. So, I'm a lefty. So, most people are like, lefty throws? Let's go non-dominant throws. Non-dominant hand throws.
Completely overrated.
Overrated.
Absolutely.
Tell me more.
I mean, a player should be able to get the job done. There's a reason why we have forehands and backhands and scoopers and hammers. If you can't get it done with your dominant hand, like, I don't quite understand. There's some circumstances where a little offhand throw is fine.
Yeah.
But I think players will spend way too much time trying to hone these skills for these really, 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 really small circumstances. And instead, they don't know how to pivot.
Mm.
You know, or they don't know how to, like, do shimmies or, you know, throw high or throw low or, you know, bend it around or put it out into space and let it sit. So, you know, this is a coach's rant right here.
Okay. No, that's what I want. I want the coach's rant.
Listen.
Listen.
Overrated.
Great.
Young players, work on the basics. Get the basics right.
Welcome to DC. The next over-under is brunch.
Oh. Hmm. I heard DC's been is a brunch place.
It's a brunch place.
You know, I heard that about New York.
Yeah.
We definitely heard that in Philly.
Yeah, right. you're just a scrapple and potatoes, Tam.
Scrapple.
Over-underrated scrapple.
Oh, overrated.
All right, back to brunch.
Right. I'm going to go overrated because I've come to the city, I've heard all about this brunch, and I don't feel like I've seen enough places that are good at brunch.
Okay. There it is. Over-under. Crushed. The last and potentially newest segment, I don't know which order I did them, I introduced them on the same podcast, is called That's My Dad.
That's My Dad!
It's a heckling segment. And to the brief background on it is once I was at a tournament and a player heckled, I guess both me but also someone else with the heckle, That's My Dad. And it was actually, so I guess the original story was it was another player. Heckled him with That's My Dad. The player was 3 years his senior. Everyone got a good kick out of it because, like, obviously it wasn't his dad, but, like, it was, like, I guess, like, kind of either he's old or I'm proud or some mix between.
All right.
Everyone loved it, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Do you have a good heckle story?
Oh, man, that's...
It's tough.
I'm still on the spot here.
You're on the spot. And so I will tell you this. You can think about that while I give one quick little plug here. Think about your heckle story. You know, get in that zen mode. Close your eyes. You know, whatever it takes. What other things do people do to zen out? Deep breaths. I would accept an ohm. Mm. You know, that can go on in the background. You think the plea that I will put out on the Hot Air podcast is recently, and you heard me talk about it in the intro, we had the Women's Showcase game, best college age and recent college alum female players in D.C. I was locked in announcing that game, and I didn't get to fully turn around to the audience and hear that 400 or so strong audience that was overly... You know, really invested in the game, but I kind of expected to hear some heckles out of that audience. So tweet at the DC Breeze, tweet at the Greg Esser. Let's see if I can't get a heckle story out of that showcase game from someone that was able to take in that story as opposed to myself that was down on field level. I'm ready to swing back to you, Daryl. Was that enough time to come up with a heckle story?
It's a story.
Give me a story.
All right. So, Pat Amash.
Sure.
Circa, you know, 2000, I'll say 14. Yeah, it was 14.
Okay.
That tournament is cold, all right? It's always cold. It's I don't know. I don't know why I go to it. It's tough. in fact, I've stopped, so there we go. But, yeah, so I'm there, and, you know, at this point, I've, like, been out of the game as a player for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Started reducing my amount of appearances even in Summer League,
yep.
Which is like, you know, sacrilege up there.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Everyone's in Summer League.
We all do Summer League.
Everyone is anyone.
I loved Winter League more. But anyway.
Interesting.
So I go to this Pat Amash, right?
And yep.
It's enough to even see me there. And there are some players that I started coaching. I was coaching the Phoenix.
Yep.
And, you know, I played against them. I was playing against Dr. XL, which is a Drexel alum. And
okay.
Assorted Philly, you know, riffraff.
Yep.
So, I play against them, and, you know, I do a couple things. I'm handling, and that's not atypical, especially for out-of-shape throw.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, I decided to play some defense. I was covering people. I got a couple layout blocks, you know. I turned it on. I went up line several times.
Okay.
Because I was actually in shape.
Yep.
Which was shocking to everybody. They
were
just like, who are you? What is going on, Daryl? So, it was kind of nice, you know, to just be called out for, like, just being... I think the line actually was like, "What did you do with Daryl?"
Oh,
you know,
good. So actually, that'll for regular podcast listeners, that one will go great because Jonathan Neely just the other week gave a story where someone was, "What happened to Mac?" Or I thought you were, "What happened to Mac Taylor?" But it was the other way around that Mac Taylor was so underachieving.
Right.
But that you're showing the flexibility of that heckle.
I think it was also...
And it's like, kind of the eye of the beholder, because, like, you could internalize it either way.
I was about to say, I don't know that this was a positive, but I think it was more just like, why are you trying? Like, you know, you never tried before. You know, you weren't that good before. Like, you're not good now, but like, you're at least trying.
Okay.
So I don't know that I took it all positive. I thought it was fun, which is what a heckle should be.
Good. Good. Yeah, I think heckles play on both sides. One today, that's my dad's segment with a nice positive one. You survived the gauntlet. Is there anything else you'd like to tell Breeze Nation on your appearance on Hot Air? The mic is yours. If you've got anything else to say, we can sum it up. We can drop these mics. Whatever you got.
Let's do it, man. This is gonna be a great season. I love getting to the point where it's time to play games. I can't wait to get this roster out there. It is so talented. It is so deep. We've got throwers at the yin yang. You gotta come watch it.
I'll be there. The question is, who else will be? I think we've got a strong community that'll be out as well. I'm looking forward to it. April 9th, opening day, Toronto Rush, an early test right out the gate.
Oof. Yes.
Thanks for coming on Hot Air, Daryl.
Thank you, Greg.
Adios.